Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
We're in the sower and the seed parable. Look at Matthew chapter 13, and let's begin in verse 1 and go through verse 8. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, and this is the first one. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and this is the next. And a thorn sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying, listen with a spiritual ear. Now, flip over to verse 18, and Jesus is going to explain this parable. He says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And then finally, verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. And the first one is this: the sower is Jesus, the Son of God. In fact, in the same chapter, verse 37, the Bible says, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. So the sower in the parable here is Jesus, the Son of God. Now, you and I, as believers, we also are sowing the seed, and we'll catch that here in a few minutes. The second one is the seed is the Word of God sown in the hearts of man. And then the third symbol is the soul. So he talks about the sower, that's the Son of God, that's Jesus. He talks about the seed, that's the Word of God. And he talks about soul in the parable. The soul represents the heart. And I think that throughout even our Christian walk, sometimes our heart will vary from one condition to the other. Whenever the word is being shared with the world, with a lost world, the condition of their heart starts out as stony, but as they begin to seek the Lord, then it becomes softer. And so it relates to not only the Christian, but it relates also to those that are hearing the word and how they're going to allow the word to change their lives. Thinking about that, let's go straight to the conditions of the heart, because I don't want you to miss this. The first condition of a heart is a wayside heart. It lacks understanding. The wayside heart lacks understanding. Let me give you an example of what Jesus is talking about when he says a sower went out to sow. If you've been to Israel, it's not like everybody has fences like we do, where they fence off all their boundaries. And back in the day, Israel, they would leave, the houses were compacted in the city. There were some outside the city, most of them in the city. And they would go out, and the sower would go out to sow at a certain time of the year. And when he would throw the seed would land on pathways. It would land on rocky places. The seed would land in all kinds of places. Whenever the Lord, the King of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, is sharing the word of God, when he literally speaks the word, the seed is falling on different types of hearts. And whenever you and I come to know Jesus Christ, what we do with our heart, listen, when you get saved, you have a responsibility to grow in the Lord. It takes discipline. It is intentional growth. Whenever you get saved, You need to be responsible with the seed, with the Word of God that you're passing out and how you're going to handle it. I know some of you make New Year's resolutions. Some of you probably don't even believe in New Year's resolutions, but I just make a New Year's whatever it's going to be. And this year I decided, you know, I'm going to witness to somebody or invite somebody to church every day in 2020. And so far, the Lord has provided, and I've been able to do that. And I was thinking about that. We have a responsibility to how we share the gospel and the seriousness of which we share the gospel with somebody, the seriousness of which we share the Word of God with somebody. And so here's Jesus saying that that's what the kingdom's like. This is what the Lord is like. And so here's Jesus, and he's been in a house. By the way, you can start in chapter 12, verse 22, and you can go all the way through chapter 13. That's one day. That's a lot of things that Jesus has done in this one day period. In fact, A.T. Robertson has called it the busy day. Now, I think Jesus had a lot of other days just like this, but this one happens to record how many things took place in this one day. All these eight parables are still in this one day. And it's believed it's about mid-afternoon when we get to chapter 13, verse 1. And Jesus has left this house that he was in and where he was ministering. And now he's coming down the grassy slopes to the beautiful Sea of Galilee. He gets down to the Sea of Galilee, and there's multitudes of people that have gathered around that are following him. And Jesus realizes that he's got the perfect place for a pulpit. And he gets in a boat, and he's got some disciples with him, and they push out from the shore, and the crowds began to sit down and listen to him, and he begins to preach to them in these parables. And he starts out with this sower, and the first condition that we want to look at of the soil is a wayside heart. Now, he explains it. Look at verse 19. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. So when a person is hearing the word of God and they're not seeking to understand and they're not asking the Lord, give me some understanding, give me some discernment. And whenever we share it, we need to explain the word. When Jesus shared his word, he explained what it meant. He didn't just share a verse and walk off. He explained. He used parables. He used illustrations. He did everything that he could to help a person to understand the Word of God. And so when you and I share the Word of God, we need to understand ourselves so that when we share it, we know how to explain it and what it means. But you use something to help the Word to make sense. And he says, and when they don't understand it, then the wicked one, that's the devil. The devil does not want you to have the Word of God in your heart. The devil does not want you to hear the Word of God, because the devil is defeated when we begin to hide the Word of God in our heart. The Bible says you hide it in your heart and you won't sin against him. Doesn't mean that we'll be perfect. It just means we have a word that he can remind us of to give us direction and to help us to make good choices. The devil is defeated by Christians that are strong in the Word of God. In this world that we're living in today, there's a great need of Christians that are in the Word, dedicated to the Word, and living out what the Word teaches. There's a need for it, and Satan loses when we do. You ought to write down Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, and I want to read it to you real quick, because the wayside heart lacks understanding. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply, that takes action and responsibility on our part, and apply your heart to understanding. Verse 3, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. By the way, who is he lifting his voice to? Who is he praying to? This is important. He's praying to the Lord. He's saying, you lift it to me. You lift your prayer and you tell me you are crying out from your heart that you want to understand and that you want discernment. You know what the Lord is saying? I'm going to give it to you. And so he goes on to say, lift up your voice for understanding. And then in verse 4, Proverbs 2, verse 4, he says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, that means spend some time in the Word, researching the Word. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you'll find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. He's the sower. He's the original sower. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's powerful. The wayside heart lacks understanding. As believers, we need to be responsible. The second kind of condition of a heart is the stony heart. Now, the first one lacks understanding. The stony heart lacks depth. Look at verse 20 and 21, Matthew chapter 13. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Now, he's excited about the word. We see that. But then something comes along to test his heart. This is the Christian that refuses to grow and get any depth. This is the Christian that just has no roots. This is the Christian that is comfortable with the things of God as long as it's comfortable for them. Not going to put themselves in an uncomfortable situation for the gospel. Tribulation comes or persecution arises because of the word, and immediately he stumbles. Why? Because he can't see with clarity. There's no discernment. Now, that's the stony heart. It lacks depth. And I think that we can learn something from James chapter 1. Now, you're familiar with be doers of the word, not just hearers. But sometimes we stop right there. And we don't read on for what he says after that. Of course, you know in verse 23, he's talking about it's like looking in a mirror and you observe yourself and then you walk away when we refuse to obey the word. But then he gets to verse 25 and he says something that is so important. James chapter 1, verse 25. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Now, where do we find our liberty? We find our liberty in Jesus Christ, the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, that's the Word of God, and is not a forgetful hearer. Did you get that? And is not a forgetful hearer. It means that when we hear the Word of God as Christians, when we're reading the Word of God as Christians, when God is opening our eyes and illuminating a scripture to us at home or whatever in our prayer time, in our study time, it is so meaningful. We take this for granted because it means that the God of all creation has showed up with you while you're in your Bible, drinking your coffee or whatever you're doing, and the Holy Spirit, this is God, showing up to give you illumination. You have just sat down with the King of this universe, the Creator of this world, and we don't even recognize it, and we take it for granted. And He says, I'm showing you something right here. You're sitting down with the Creator of this world. And He opens your eyes to understand something. And old Satan comes in the other ear, and he says, oh, that was just you. You just happened to be real smart and wise, and you figured it out. And you say to Satan, you go set on attack. Because the Holy Spirit made me to understand this. And I'm growing my roots deep in His Word. And you just get away from me. Because when I grow up and when I get my roots deep in the Lord through experience and through the Word, something's going to happen to you, Satan. You're going to come and my fruit's going to be poisonous to your kingdom. The fruit that you come to eat of me, it's going to be poison, and you're not going to want to have anything to do with me. Why? Because I've drawn nigh unto God, and the Bible says that the devil will flee from me. This is so important that we grow in the Lord. We don't want to be wayside, lacking understanding, and we don't want to have a stony heart, lacking depth. Then there's the third one, and that's the thorny heart, the bushes and the briars. It lacks passion. The thorny heart lacks passion. It means that the cares of this world, the riches of this world, the things of this world have been our passion. And because that's our passion, anything that is of the kingdom, anything that is of God, has to fall beneath it in second place. And God will not have any other gods before Him. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy to prioritize. And so when you sit down tonight or tomorrow, whenever you read your scriptures, and you're praying or you're in a situation at a grocery store and you have an opportunity to witness wherever that might be, and the Lord speaks to your heart, I want you to realize something. Don't take it for granted, because the one that died for you is showing up by your side, and He is giving you instruction, and He is saying, you just got to listen to me. It's my gentle touch that is helping you. It is my presence that is with you, just as the song that Kevin sung earlier with the guitar. It is me that is accompanying you. I told you I would not leave you an orphan, but so often you never even acknowledge that I'm there. You never even acknowledge that I exist. That's a sad place to be. It's interesting because when Jesus was at the woman, met the woman at the well in Samaria, there's so much more to that story that is so good that I wish we could go into, but I can't chase that rabbit. But when Jesus was at that well, and he's meeting with a Samaritan woman, that place of Shechem from years back. That's why he must needs go through Samaria. I'll leave it at that for now. And Jesus is ministering to that lady, and the disciples are so hungry. They're looking for McDonald's. I mean, they're going to town. It's all about food. Their passion at that moment is not a Samaritan woman. It's not even the Samaritans that need Jesus. It's all about, got to get a hamburger. They're asking Jesus, do you want a quarter pounder with cheese, chicken McNuggets? What do you want? They leave and they go to town. They come back. And Jesus is not even thinking about food. I'm sure he's hungry, just as hungry as they are. And you know what he's doing? He has just ministered to this Samaritan woman. He has spent time with her. He gave her understanding. He spoke from a heart of depth because it was not on stony ground. His seed came from a good heart. And he's given her some depth. He's given her some understanding. And then this lady begins to realize, I think I'm talking to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And she goes back to town. She leaves her water pots. You know why? Because her priorities just shifted. She has a brand new passion. And she gets to town, and then she comes back with a whole bunch of villagers from the city. And she comes back and she says, could this be the Christ? I didn't know if there was angels behind me or what that was. Could this be the Christ? And so Jesus begins to minister now to these that have come from Samaria. So not only now has he won this lady to the Lord, he has now won all these others from the village to the Lord. They'll go back to their village. They'll win others to the Lord. And guess what's going to happen? They grow in him so that they can have depth. And it is depth is where you find your discernment. And when you find your discernment, that's where your mind sees the world as saved or lost. That's where your mind says, God, show me what you want me to do today. You wake up every morning and you say, God, I'm ready. I think about my... But I can remember when my mother, and one day I called her and was checking on her, and she said, Bruce, I got up early this morning and got all ready and fixed up and dressed and everything just in case the Lord has somebody for me to minister to. That's the kind of heart that we want to have. We want to wake up every morning and we want to say, my passion is your passion, Jesus. My passion is your will, Jesus. My passion is to obey you. I don't want to be a wayside Christian, and I don't want to lack understanding. I'm going to pursue, and I'm going to learn understanding. I don't want to be a Christian on stony ground. I want to have a heart, Lord, that when the seed comes into my heart, that I've got depth. I'm growing my roots deep in the Word so that I have discernment and experience to be your hands and to be your feet in a dark and lost world. It's that important. That's what Matthew, by the way, Jesus, I didn't get to what I was going to say. Jesus said, they said, Lord, have you had any food? Well, they knew he didn't have any food. They're the ones that went to get it. Lord, you had any food? And he says, my food is to do the will of the Father. That's my food. He said, I'd rather eat that. That's better than a Big Mac any day. Use a paper towel when you eat a Big Mac because it slides out the bottom. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other desires will be added unto you. We have a responsibility to seek him. But then there's the final one. It's the good heart. This is the heart that we want to have as Christians. This is the heart that we're trying to see happen in others, and it's spiritually produced, supernaturally produced by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 23. He says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. If you read this same story in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, in this same verse in Mark, he says, not only does he hear the word and understand it, he accepts it. He accepts it. It's like when we're told something by a doctor, or we're told something by our wife, I accepted the fact I made a mistake with that leaf blower, but it was fun. We accept it. We accept the news. Listen, you say, how can I have a heart with good ground? Here's how you have a heart with good ground. You seek to understand it. Can you explain what you read? Now, I'd say 99.9% of the Bible I have a hard time understanding because it's that deep. It's like onion peels. There's verses that I've preached and studied time after time after time, and I learn something new every time. Because the Bible is so much deeper than I can go. It's that deep. But here's the key. I want to understand it. I want to have a depth that is of such that I can be obedient to the Lord when He wants me to do something. And by the way, it's in that depth that you find yourself under the umbrella of God's blessing. I can remember one time I met a guy, he's passed away, and he had written some books, and he passed away about 10 years ago, and he was up in his middle 90s at that time. And he was a part of a group of Christians that came from Kansas and all down to this area. He was a church planter, and he had planted churches all over the place. And this man had wisdom beyond wisdom. And I was doing some dozer work for him, and I was just so impressed with this guy. And I said to him, I said, Nolan, what you've lived a long Christian life. And you have obeyed the Lord in so many things, and just listening to your stories takes an incredible amount of faith. What kind of wisdom could you give to me? And I'll never forget what he said. And it has helped me and helped me and helped me. He said, Bruce, he said, you live your life under the umbrella of God's blessing. And when you feel you're walking out from under that umbrella of God's blessing and you're walking out of His will, you run back to the Word of God and you get back underneath the umbrella of God's blessing. And He'll tell you everything you need to do. He will instruct you. He will guide you. He will love on you. He will encourage you. He will forgive you. And I mean, I tell you what, I had church at his house, and I couldn't wait to get home to tell Teresa the experience I had with this man. And he called me one day before he died, and he said, I'm writing this book, and I want you to do the foreword in it. And I told Teresa, I said, I don't need to be writing the foreword for this book because I don't know enough about him, but I know this. I know that that man has touched my life for the small season of time that I've got to know him. You know why he touched my life? Because he had a good heart. A good heart. He accepted the Word of God as fact. He accepted it. We have to accept it. He understood the Word of God. And the Bible says that when we do, there'll be fruit from it. Look at the last part of the verse. He hears the Word, understands it. Who indeed, now I've been confused about this portion of the verse, but I've learned a lot about this week studying this portion. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is 2-fold fruit right here. Now, if you've got a fruit tree, and we've got some tree experts in the room right now, but if you've got a fruit tree, if you have a live oak, it's not going to make an apple. I'm convinced of that because it's a live oak. Okay, it'll make an acorn. But the fruit has to be produced from within the tree. In other words, the fruit cannot be attached to the vine. The fruit has to be manifested from within the vine, from the nutrients coming up the stem and up the roots and up the tree. And then that fruit, that God-planned, ordained fruit that came at the very creation of this universe suddenly starts appearing. And the apple tree is called an apple tree, not because we saw something unique about the tree, but because we saw the apple that hung from the tree. So we know now that that is an apple tree because of the fruit that is on the tree. When you and I receive the Word of God, I'm talking now, I'm reversing all the way back to our salvation, and we accept it as fact, and we understand that Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and we receive Him into our heart, and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and to give us eternal life by faith, something happens right there. The Bible says that we are given gifts. Before my salvation, I didn't have the spiritual gifts that I have now. I got those with salvation. And a fruit began to be produced so that those who are of God hear us. And so the fruit begins to manifest itself. And with some, it's more than others. Some are just incredibly gifted. Some are gifted 100-fold, some 60-fold, some are gifted 30-fold. And it's then that as we begin to live for the Lord and obey Him, that fruit of our ministry is produced. In other words, that's what you do with what you have. And it's a great responsibility. So if I could say anything today, ask yourself this hypothetical question. It's a good way to look at where you are as you begin the year in 2020. Ask yourself this. If someone else had to depend on the soil of my heart for their own walk by faith, would they prosper in my soil? If somebody had to depend on your soul, the condition of your heart, to grow in the Lord, could they grow in the condition of your heart? Could they grow in the Lord? That's the way we need to look at it. And I want to tell you, Jesus shared these parables because Jesus understood that people didn't understand Him. That's why He shared it. He said, seeing, He shared it with those Jews that wouldn't believe in Him as well. And He said, hearing that they won't hear, seeing that they don't see, lest they turn and their sins be forgiven them. His whole goal was forgiveness. His whole goal. A parable can be remembered once it's understood. You'll never forget it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You may be in here this morning and you're at that crossroads spiritually in your life. You're at that point in your life where the Lord is saying, you know, I'm sharing the Word with you. Maybe you're a Christian, but there's just not a lot of depth. And every time you hear things on the news or you see things, fear just overcomes you. And you just kind of back off in a corner, afraid to share the Lord with a lost and dark world that desperately needs to hear it. Maybe you have a heart that is on the wayside, that next to the path, that trampled path of lethargy. And the seed has landed on a path of lethargy, and where it's landed, it can't grow because you're not seeking to understand it. You're not studying it. You're taking it as a trivial thing. Or maybe this morning you have a good heart, and you accept the Word of God as fact for what it says. And you have a good heart, and you're sensitive to the Spirit of God and you feel conviction of sin. You realize that you're a sinner and you realize that except but by the grace of God, you couldn't even stand. And you say, Lord, I just want to experience you. I want to have depth in my decision making. I just want to obey you. And Lord, leave the consequences with you. My job's to obey. It's your job to deal with the consequences. Help me to do it, Lord, in love. Help me to obey you with all the grace in the world. My speech seasoned with grace and my actions as light and salt. God, we need you today. Lord, we ask you to do in our lives what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.